Hello, and welcome to Intuitive Nature, the podcast. My name is Susan Jane, and I believe that trusting your intuition is the best way to live your life with meaning and purpose. Each week, you will hear about how you can connect, develop, and trust your intuition through meditations, readings, and my own personal experiences. Join me to understand how your intuition can guide you towards a life full of meaning and loving purpose.
Hello everyone and welcome again. This is Intuitive Nature, the podcast. I'm Susan Jane, the Intuitist. I'm your host for this podcast. And today we have a very exciting guest on board. Her name is Rhea Pawley. Now, Rhea does channeling. She does a lot of other things too, but we're really going to focus on channeling. Let's get it right to start with. We want to focus on that because I think it's a really good way of actually connecting with your intuition and getting an understanding. Instead of asking people out there, you start to come within and get that information in within. So I'm going to introduce you to Rhea. She is a mystic, a psychotherapist, and an intuitive life coach. And you're going to get a lot out of this podcast, that's for sure. So please welcome Rhea Pawley. Hi, Rhea.
Hi, it's great to be here.
Thank you. Thanks for turning up. This is really good. It's really exciting. I'm going to ask you the first question and I'm going to hand it over to you because obviously you've got the answers and I haven't because it's about you. Why? Why did you start doing the channeling?
Well, the reason I started channeling was because I've always been a great asker of questions. I was always a seeker. As a little girl, I went by myself from one church to the other, church hopping, I suppose you might say, looking for answers and didn't seem to find them. And I went through a really bad time in my life. That's what pushes everybody to awaken is usually we go through a dark night of the soul. And I went through a dark night of the soul and I was really wanting answers. I knew my life wasn't working out. I was about in my 40s by this point. I'd already trained as a life coach and I trained as a counsellor and done various other things. I was very spiritual at the time as well. And so looking for answers, I went to psychics. A lot of people do that. Nothing wrong with going to a psychic. I do psychic readings too. But I went to psychics and wasn't really happy, I guess, with the answers that I was getting. Was looking for the real truth about things. I've always been that way. I've always been a truth seeker. I've always been someone who was extremely honest. Some would have called me blunt at certain points in my life. So in the looking for the answers, I found channelers. Now, the first channeler I connected with was a beautiful channeler in Canada, from Serge Grandbois, who was channeling an entity named Chris. It's called the Chris Chronicles in Toronto, Canada. And I started having sessions with Chris and I was really getting the answers that I wanted. I could feel when I was having these channeling sessions that the channeled being knew things about me and really understood where I was coming from and what it was that I needed and was also giving me guidance for life. Now, channeling is a little bit different than having a psychic reading because most channeled teachers and channeled beings won't crystal ball gaze, as they call it. So it's not like fortune telling. They actually won't predict your future. They might tell you what the probability of something happening is given the way your energy is going at the time and the choices that you're making in your life and the thoughts and the feelings that you're holding. And they certainly coach you about how to create a better reality for yourself. But when you're talking to higher beings, as you are when you're channeling, they won't predict the future. They say that's a game and they won't play it because we're creating our own reality all the time. So we're creating our future. So this sort of, you know, when you do something and you know that it's truth, it has authenticity and it's real, I knew that this channeling was real. So from there on, I think that was in about 2006. I added it up the other day. I've actually spoken to 30 different channelers across the world and many of them more than once. So I ended up, you know, on a bit of a channeling thing, looking for really great channelers all over the world, and learn a lot in the process.
Can I just ask, how did you find them? How did you find the channelers, or how did you know which ones you wanted to connect with?
Well, I started off, I read the Seth books. I don't know if anyone's read the Seth books, Seth was a being that channeled through a woman called Jane Roberts. Those channelings came through in the 1960s. And I had found the Seth books in about the late 80s after her harmonic convergence. And I started reading the Seth books. And when I read the first Seth book, I had to read it one page at a time. Mm-hmm. I knew it was incredibly profound and it was real truth and it really got me in the guts, in my intuition, but it was so different than any other knowledge that I'd ever experienced before. And mind you, I was at university at this time studying English. You know, I was, you know, getting an education in other ways, but I could only read it one page at a time. I used to say it was like I didn't have the neural network to be able to comprehend the information, and I had to read it one page at a time and assimilate it and then read the next page. And then after I found Seth, I found other channelers who were like Seth, who were connected to that whole, there's still a huge big Seth movement on the planet. A lot of people are interested in Seth, and you can still read all the, there's a dozen Seth books. So Chris from the Chris Chronicles that I first started speaking to, and then Elias, who channels through Mary Innes, and she's in the US as well, they are very like Seth. So that was the beginning. I started with them, and then I went out from there on. And then what happened to me was that I started having a tapping in my ear, and whenever I would meditate or tune in, I would get this tap, tap, tapping in my ear, and I was like, okay, who's there? What is it? What's happening? And I wasn't really getting any messages or anything, but then I remember I was going through a dark night of the soul. So I used to meditate a lot, and I could feel someone tracing my face, you know, like someone was lovingly sort of tracing the edges of my face, and it was very visceral. And then I started feeling this energy coming into the right side of my body. And, you know, it was warmth, it was tingly, it was a sort of supportive energy, and I had no idea what it was. And it was, I think it was Elias who channels through Mary Innes, who later told me that I was having what he calls an energy exchange, or I was channeling a higher being, but he wouldn't tell me who it was. I had to find that out for myself.
So you're starting to feel it. So you're starting to experience it. You've already connected with a few of the others. So with Elias, you said that was you were connecting with another channeler. To find out that Elias was telling you that you were receiving. Oh, wow, how exciting.
See, the big thing about all psychics and channelers is in the beginning, you don't know whether you're going mad, whether you're making it up, it's your imagination, you're going crackers, right? You're getting all this information and you're getting these different sort of experiences, but, you know, it's very hard to know whether they're real or not, or whether you're just, you know, going crazy. So what I would do is I would have a session with another channeler and I would get their feedback. Now, in the beginning, they'd tell me the answers that I wanted, but very soon after that, Elias started saying to me, what do you think? What's your impression? Right? What do you think the answer is? And so in that way, I was able to get feedback that I was getting the right information. So, for instance, I would get information about my own past lives, and, you know, have a visual image and a, you know, experience of a past life, and I'd get information about that. Then I'd go to Elias and I'd say, is this right? Did I really have a past life in the 1920s in the US as a dancer named Jane? Like I was a, you know, this kind of dancer. And he'd go, yeah. So in the end I would have a list of questions that I'd want to ask him, and I'd ring him up and I'd go, is this right? Is this right? Is this right? And invariably every single time he told me I was right. Now, you might think, oh, he's just blowing hot air up her ass kind of thing, but all of the Elias channelings all the way back to the 1980s are free and they're on the website, and I'd been studying them and reading them. So I knew from lots of sessions that he had with other people that he didn't always say, yes, that's right. He often said, no, you're wrong, to other people. So it was a way for me of building up my trust. It took a long time. Like, this was back in 2007, and really I only started coming out as a channeler a few years ago.
Yeah, so you really had that confirmation, which is not many people would have got. So connecting with that way, connecting with another channeler for you, gives you that confirmation that where you're going is correct. Instead of just somebody giving you information, you're actually getting feedback, which is what you need to give you that confidence.
Yeah, like let's not forget, I was a high school teacher for 23 years. I was pretty, my ego was attached, is very attached to my intellect. And I don't just take advice from anybody. I have to make up my own mind about things. So it was really a very long, slow process for me to think I actually do know what I'm talking about. And then, of course, once you start doing channelings and readings for people, you get that feedback from them that what you're telling them is correct. And, you know, so it takes a long time. It happens over time. I mean, you know, lots of people out there think channeling is really weird. And what I'd like to say here is people have, across the universe, have been channeling forever. Where do you think the Bible came from? All of the information in the Bible was supposed to have come through the prophets, right? Well, what is that? That's channeling. And Muhammad was supposed to have channeled the Quran with his head under a blanket in a cave, and he couldn't even read and write very well at the time. And somebody else wrote down what he was saying, channeling, right? Yeah. So, you know, all artists channel, all musicians channel, all writers and really creative people, when they talk about getting in the zone, what they're doing is channeling. So in a way, we could say that we are all channeling our higher self all the time.
Yeah.
The only problem with the information that we're getting, and because you're into intuition, you know what I'm talking about here. Yeah. People often ask me, how can I tell whether this is my intuition, whether it's right or not? And I say, well, you've got to learn to discern the difference between your ego and your authentic self. Yeah. Your authentic self will be your intuition coming through, what the ego wants, the lower self wants, and what the higher self, the authentic self wants for us, can be very different.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. Especially our goals and things like that, what we perceive that we want and what we actually feel that we want is, two different things. Yeah.
Yeah. What we want is often a desire. I want that relationship back. I want that boy to like me or that man to like me. I want a new car or a new house, or I want a job or whatever. But, you know, this is an action-oriented universe. We have to take action to make things happen here and to create our own reality. And so we have to understand that we're eternal immortal beings, and we've had many, many lifetimes. And so just because we want what everybody else has got here in third dimensional reality doesn't mean that's for our highest good. Our sole plan when we came here might have been something very different. And our higher self might want something very different for us than the relationship with that man we think we're in love with.
Yeah, exactly. What I was going to ask, now, if somebody wanted to start channeling, I mean, apart from connecting with you, and on the video you'll see the website, which is rhea.com.au. Rhea is spelled R-E-E-A.com.au. So Rhea is in Australian business. If you wanted to connect with Rhea, you can go that way and get a reading or an understanding of channeling. But what if somebody wants to start themselves? What are the things they look for, or what are the steps that they can take to start going that way?
Okay, so there are many different aspects or essences you can channel. You can channel your own higher self. Like I said before, we're already doing that. Where do we think that inspiration, motivation, you know, our best possible thoughts come from? They come from our higher self. Or you can channel an ascended master or a high-level teacher. I channel the goddess Maat, who is the Egyptian goddess of truth, justice and harmony. And goddess Maat has been in many civilizations. In Greece, she was actually called the goddess Rhea. I didn't find that out till a few years ago. That's another synchronicity of life. But, you know, in lots of ancient civilizations, she's the eternal goddess mother. So she was Mami, Ninsurhag, Ninma. Later on in Egypt, she was called Isis. So it's all the same mother, divine feminine energy that I'm channeling. And so if anyone wants, I actually teach psychic development. So I mentor people who are interested in developing their psychic skills and their channeling. I'm also a clinical hypnotherapist, and I did that for years. I'm also a past life regression therapist. I also have done that for years. So I know all about how to get people into deep trance. If you want to channel, you've got to practice meditating, going into deep trance and allowing the energy to come through. Now, if you're channeling your higher self, that's not so bad. It's not scary. You're just channeling another aspect of you that is a higher aspect of you. But if you're channeling another being and you want to do, say, voice channel, direct voice channeling, where you let the other being take over your voice box and speak through you, which is what I do, then it takes a certain amount of trust, because there can be negative entities that want to channel through you as well. So you have to know how to have the right kind of training to protect yourself, to know when it's a good energy and it's a bad energy, and then you have to practice deep trance. Now, the other way you can practice deep trance is remote viewing. I've also done a remote viewing course. So remote viewing can be very similar to the practice of channeling. So it takes you into a deep trance as well. So that's another way that you can prepare yourself. But you really need to be mentored by somebody else who's a channeler. I've been mentored by many channelers across the world. As I said, I started with Elias, and I've spoken to many other channelers who taught me the craft of channeling. And the other thing is, when you're channeling, right, what's the purpose of channeling? It's to bring through higher wisdom and knowledge. And when you're working one-on-one with people, you have to be very careful about that. I'm also a trained counselor, so I know all the rules and regulations about how to work with people, what to say to people, what not to say to people, right? So you've got to be careful that you're uplifting someone, you're not scaring them, you're not being intrusive, you're not telling them something they shouldn't know. You know, people ring me up, and women ring me up, and they say, is this Mr. Right? Is this the man I should be with? And Goddess Mart won't answer that question. Because that would be interfering in someone's free will and their own choice. So there's lots of information that we can give around that question to help the person make the right decision. But you've got to be very careful not to be intrusive. Being intrusive is the number one law of the universe. You're not allowed to do that. You're not allowed to interfere in someone else's free will, and higher beings won't do that.
Okay, I've just got to sort of let people know the internet's playing up a little bit at my place, and you're going a little bit blurry every now and again. So it is, unless you're channeling and you're changing.
Well, I meant to tell you before that that often happens, right? When you've got, you know, the thing about Goddess Marty is eventually I got to the point where I was told she was around me all the time, and she had actually been around me since birth, and she was kind of preparing me and pushing me in the right direction. So she's actually around me all the time. When I channel, I don't have to, you know, sit for half an hour in meditation to pull her in. It takes a matter of minutes. So sometimes her energy and the energy of any higher being can interfere with electro technologies and, you know.
And it's really funny because it's only you that is blurring. It's not the photos or the pictures behind you. So yeah. We've seen magic happen before our eyes. Oh, yeah, I haven't got another question to ask you. All right, we've talked about channeling. You've got all the creds behind you, the credentials behind you, which is really good.
That was another reason why I kind of went to the channeling thing, because I was a life coach and a counselor, and I was working with people, and then they'd come back and see me, and they'd go, I went to this psychic down the road last week and she told me X, Y, Z. And I'd think, you're listening to someone who's a psychic. Now, I'm psychic too, but, you know, a psychic doesn't mean they have any education. They don't not necessarily have any spiritual knowledge. They don't necessarily know anything about human behavior. And the people listen to them all the time. And so that's what started me off. I thought, well, I can do that. See, I come from a long line of women who had psychic abilities. My mother and all of her sisters were psychic. They didn't do readings, but they had, you know, premonitions and precognitive dreams and saw dead people. And I grew up in all of that kind of energy. So, you know, I kind of managed to combine my spiritual side, my psychic skills, my channeling abilities with my education. I trained as a high school teacher and a counselor. I did 3 years of psychology at university. So, you know, I've got that balance.
Yeah, absolutely. And I do agree with you. And I think a lot of the times it's with the psychics, it's not that they're not bringing that information through. It's how they relay that information is what I find challenging. And one incident with my partner, he went to one and he was told that his firstborn would not see old bones.
I would never tell anybody that. That's what I mean about being intrusive. That's terrible, terrible.
And ever since, and because he's a little bit of an anxious person, ever since, that has played on his mind all the way through.
And of course, human beings are highly suggestible, right? So that's why you've got to be very careful with what you say to someone.
Yep. And somebody else has said, well, if it's the truth or if that's the information he's getting, he needs to pass that on. I go, no, it isn't. Even if a psychic is getting that information, it doesn't matter. You have choice whether you share it or whether you don't share it. And I don't believe sharing information like that is appropriate.
Okay, so that brings up a really good point. Goddess Mark comes into the right side of my body and she impresses or downloads information into my mind, let's say, and then I have to interpret that energy and put it into words. So that's me, and that's what psychics do. There are very few psychics around who are actually clairaudient and hear someone speaking in their ear. Paul Selig in America, who's a channeler, actually hears his guides and then repeats it. But there's very few people around who do that. It's always an interpretation, right? So if you've got someone who's interpreting it and they're not very smart, they're biased, they haven't dealt with their own stuff, this is a really important thing, one of the things that, I'm really sort of passionate about, I suppose. It doesn't matter whether you're a psychologist, a counsellor, a life coach, a psychic, a channeler, you've got to do your own work. You have to have cleaned up your own vibration, be aware of what your own shit is and have dealt with it before you can work with anybody else to make sure that you're not projecting.
Absolutely. Thank goodness somebody, I just can't believe that there are people out there that are telling you what to do and yet they've not done it themselves. You know, they've not walked the walk. They're talking the talk, but they're not walking the walk. And I just really, really gets me. I'm sorry, that was one of my passion points.
I feel the same. I do feel totally the same.
Just drives
you crazy. I think we've got a responsibility. I take my responsibility very seriously, And so if anyone's going to a channeler or a psychic and they're telling them stuff that's scaring them, get up and walk out of there and don't pay them. That would be my advice.
Yeah. Oh, wow. Yeah. Because we don't have to sit there and take it on board. We can walk away. We have that choice. Life is full of choices. Wow, that's amazing. All right, so we have talked about how to become a channeler, what you need to do to sort of start with. So it was about meditation, getting into a deep trance. Oh, you were talking about remote viewing. Can you just explain what that is just a little bit more?
Okay, so remote viewing is really interesting. It started the American Army, the US Army was using remote viewing, as was the Russian Army, and they were using it for military purposes. So they would get a whole stack of people in a room who had these kind of skills and abilities who could remote view or see things a long way away from them or even in the future or in the past, it doesn't matter, and they could draw pictures of what they were seeing. So it might have been a military base or something to do with that. So the US and the Russians and probably other people around the world were doing lots of research into remote viewing, and it's actually a very real thing, and they used it both of those countries have used it very effectively in their military. So there's a guy in America, Gerald O'Donnell, who has a remote viewing course that you can get online, and I actually did his course. He's wonderful. So it teaches very similar skills to channeling. So we use our imaginations. People think your imagination's not real, but your imagination is very real. You can't actually see something in your imagination that hasn't happened or doesn't have the possibility of being able to happen, right? So all psychics and channelers use their imagination, as do all artists and musicians. And, that's the right brain part of us that is connected to our higher guidance and to that divine matrix of the universe where all the wisdom comes from.
Yeah. Oh, okay. So they would do the remote viewing, and then they would actually draw the pictures, and they would go from there. Yes. So when you're doing, you do remote viewing, or you?
I did the course so that it would help me with my channeling. You know, I'm very big on, I'm a lifelong learner, you might say. So I was, you know, looking for ways to keep deepening the skill of being able to channel. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So you don't actually do the images or anything else. You just
do that part of it. No.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, perfect. Okay. So we've talked about the doing meditation, so you're getting into a deep trance, because there's lots of different types of meditations as well, but it's more important in when you're doing this or when you're wanting to go forward with that is to get into that deep trance. So the first thing they could experience is sensations in their body, tingling, different feelings like that. Would you suggest that they jot them down or write them or just...
It's very easy today. Yeah, it's really easy nowadays because everyone's got a voice recorder on their phone and a video on their phone. So I would suggest turning on your voice recorder when you were going to do any channeling. Automatic writing is another way of channeling. So some people start off automatic writing. In fact, Esther Hicks, who channels Abraham, if any of your listeners know about Abraham, because she and he are huge across the world. Esther Hicks started channeling by automatic writing. So that's a way that lots of channelers start out. So they let the information come through the hand and just write, like stream of consciousness writing. So you can do that, or just record yourself. The thing about channeling is this: it's really hard to do by yourself. You need to have someone asking you questions to bring the information through. So you're better off sitting down with a friend or getting online with a friend, going into a deep trance, getting them to ask you a question, and that pulls the information through. And it's really only when you look at the information afterwards so that you realise that it wasn't you. So what happens when you're channeling is the words that they pick are not probably words that you always use, or they bring through information that you are unaware of and is not in your consciousness. So it's the bringing through of new information or information that you shouldn't have known about another person, for instance, that really lets you know that it's not coming from your own consciousness.
Yes, yes. It's coming from definitely further afield.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, so, yeah, doing it with a friend would be a good way. So in saying that, Rhea, do you do like a group workshops or anything like that? Do you? Because
I do.
You're in Port Stephens, aren't you?
Yeah, I'm in Port Stephens. So every month I have what I call the Goddess Guidance Circle, and we all get on Zoom together, and I channel and I answer people's questions for them. And as I said, I also do one-on-one mentoring for people who are interested in channeling or developing their psychic skills. So I do that as well.
Oh, wow. And again, I put the your website, I'll put it down in the notes as well so people can see and connect with you that way too. Well, what I want to ask you, because we're just about out of time, but one thing I want to ask you, and you may or may not have an answer to this, I'm not sure, but what do you believe intuition is? Or what
I think that we all have many different skills. So if you're psychic, you may be clairvoyant, clairaudient, clairsentient, claircognizant. There's all those clairs. I'm actually clairsentient. In other words, I feel things more than anything else, and then I have to interpret those into words. I'm also clairvoyant, so I see things and put those into words. So really, to me, intuition is just a gut knowing. It is your higher self, inner being, soul speaking to you. And remember that your higher self only speaks to you in positive life affirming messages. So they might come, they might say, yes, come this way, do this, do that. They'll never say, no, don't do that. They'll never make you frightened. So your intuition is definitely your inner being, your higher self, who is part of us. It's not a separate being. We are nested inside our energy field, our soul, our higher self. And when we go back to what we call the spirit dimension, we're all one. You know, when I talk about my guide goddess, Mart, she's not one being. She's a group of energies who is, and that's true of all of the people who are channeling ascended masters and spiritual teachers that are, you know, high dimensional and high vibrational beings. They're a group. So we are part of our higher self, our soul, our oversoul, all of that stuff. And it is just that wisdom or information coming through us from that aspect of us. But as I said before, the difficulty is in telling the difference between your ego and your higher self. So that's why even now I will not do readings for my own family or friends, and I tell them I won't do it because I'm emotionally invested in the answer.
I want
certain things for them because I love them.
Yep.
And so that distorts the information coming through. So that's why you've got to be very careful when interpreting your own intuition.
Yes. I also found too that it's actually easier to read for somebody else than it is to do it for yourself or for people you know. Because you do put your, when you don't know somebody, or when, like you say, you're channeling, so you don't know what's coming through, you're actually, all you can do is say what you see, feel, hear, you know, smell, touch, whatever it is. That's all you can say. Whereas when you know the person, you know there's other things you can say. So it's so much easier reading for somebody you don't know.
Absolutely, absolutely. Sometimes I get the weirdest information that comes through when I'm doing a reading for someone. I remember what a lady came to me one day and I said to her, I don't know what this is about, but I'm seeing yellow roses everywhere out the front of a house. There's all these yellow roses. And she's like, oh, my partner just died not long ago and he used to plant yellow roses in my front garden and that was always our message to each other. You know, it's that sort of thing. Like, you don't know when you get that stuff and it's about somebody else what it's about, and you just have to blurt it out, hoping that they're going to understand what it is.
And again, that's the difference with saying what you're seeing and allowing that to come through, or saying something like your firstborn's never going to see old bones. Like, it's so, anyway.
See, I won't even do medical readings. People come to me all the time and want me to answer questions about their health, and I say no, Goddess Mart won't do that. That's for doctors. I know there are a lot of great medical mediums around the world, and I'm not criticising any of them. We've all got our own skill and ability, but I was a nurse in my younger days, and so there's no way that I am going to get weigh in on someone's health.
Yeah, I totally agree. You know, you can give them some positive feedbacks like, oh, you know, maybe you should be exercising or something.
Yes.
But, you've got to be, and again, you're going back to the fact that you're a life coach, you've done the psychotherapist. It goes back to being able to relate the messages you're receiving in a positive and constructive manner to the person you're reading for or channeling to.
So all channeled entities will use the words that are already available to the person they're channeling through. So if you've got a big vocabulary and you're quite articulate, you're going to get better messages come through that person than somebody that isn't, right? Yep. Because they use whatever they've got. They use us to transmit the message. You know what I mean? Goddess Mart is often using what's already in my mind, all the things I've learned about human behavior and people and spiritual wisdom. You know, I already have a lot of that. So she uses all of that when she's transmitting a message or bringing something through for someone.
Yeah. Oh, I love that. Thank you so much for sharing. We've got to wind it up because time is you know, getting a bit on. I really love that. So if anyone wants to connect with Rhea, the website will be down there. Otherwise, it is rhea.com.au, and you can connect with her. And you're doing channeling and readings and everything on the website. You can see all that.
You can book an appointment on the website. My calendar's there. And as I said, I work one-on-one with people all over the world. On Zoom, isn't Zoom a great thing? We can connect with everybody from all over the world, so we're really enjoying that. So, look, thanks for today. I've really enjoyed it. Thank you to all of your listeners. It's been an absolute pleasure and a joy, and namaste.
Oh, thank you so much, and namaste back to you. And I will come off now and say thanks again. That was great. I even learned stuff too, and I love it. I'm a crazy learner. So thanks everyone for listening. Again, if you want to find out some more tools or tips for trusting your intuition, subscribe to the podcast or follow me on Facebook, Instagram or Twitter. My website is intuitivenature.com.au. Again, I'm an Australian business as well, and there's some blogs and free resources on there. So remember, we are all naturally intuitive. It is part of human nature. It is our intuitive nature. I'm Susan Jane, the intuitist, and I'm saying bye for now. Bye.